Hey there, One Pride Nation. This is Zach.
And Brendan.
And we are
Lions Basement Banter.
Welcome back to another episode of Lions Basement Banter. We are rolling. We are here. I wanted to kind of mention something that I saw this week, and I think I kind of pointed it out in some of the videos for Giovanni Manu. And I think I asked, is he lined up at guard a lot there at British Columbia? And he sure as heck was drafted in thoughts of using him as a guard starting off. So,
yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't. The lineup, they looked like that he was still a tackle, but they just had like an extra guy out there blocking. But I mean, I guess if he's a guard, that's fine. I don't know. I'd rather see him play at tackle, given his size.
I think the what I've heard is the thought is that they're going to try to move him in at tackle because they most likely have a better opportunity at actually putting him in there, just to get him some reps. Eventually, he will be the opposite tackle. You know, I think he's Decker's secession plan. But it sounds like they're going to try to get him on the field at all costs, is what it sounded like. So,
well, that's good. I mean, they do use Skipper at guard too, and yep. He's in like one of those other guys that are one of the taller guys in the NFL. So, I did see some people concerned that him playing guard would be a problem because how do you expect the quarterback to be able to see over a mountain of a man like that blocking for him? But apparently, it's not an issue because Dan Skipper has played for Jared Goff before.
Dan Skipper is even taller.
Jared Goff's not a short guy. He mm-hmm. might seem short by sports standards, but I'm sure if you went and stood next to him, you would feel very small.
I would just because of the star power, but yeah, the height too.
Okay.
So talking about Manu, Mike Payton from A to Z Sports, in an interview with TSN broadcaster, the broadcaster that he was talking with said, if this guy, on Manu, if this guy was at a Division I school, he'd be a first-round draft pick or a second-round draft pick. Maybe. I don't know if I believe that 100%. Maybe a third round. He's got some refining to do based on what we've seen and what his coaches say, too.
That's what this guy is saying, though, is if he had gone to a Division I or Division II school, he would have been coached up enough to not have as much that needs to be polished, and at that size,
yeah,
somebody would have gotten that refining, spent a first or second pick on him, even if he had a few things that needed to be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, for sheer size alone and everything else. So some news, you know, I think we were talking about Jerry Jacobs, or at least I was, and thinking about, hopefully he would come back. This was prior to the draft. Hopefully we'd end up getting him back in some sort of, you know, role, a reduced role, I guess. I was hoping that he'd be signed back because I really like Jerry Jacobs. But after the draft, we obviously don't need another cornerback. And I can't believe I'm saying that. It feels weird to say that right now. But we definitely don't need one right now. And because our cornerback room is loaded and completely full, but sounds like he signed with the Jags, so he's going somewhere nicer and warmer.
It is weird, assuming this whole thing pans out with what we've invested in that room.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to say that we don't need a corner, because I feel like we've needed a corner since I've been a Lions fan.
Yeah, for real.
Because like the first time I remember, the only thing I can remember is back in the days when we had Chris Houston.
Yep.
And he was all right. It wasn't great. He was all right. And then he had flashes. But then we were always searching for someone opposite him. And then we had, like, Bill Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
And we
Bill Bentley.
Rashawn Mathis.
I can remember old Circus Kirkus in one of the tweets that we had going on, but I forgot about Bill Bentley, so that kind of hurts a little bit. But
yeah, Bill Bentley, legend.
And then even when we got Slay, big play Slay, it was kind of like we need to get him help on the other side. I mean, it seems
we've
like
never
he was
had anything.
Yeah, we didn't. We never had like solid depth at cornerback, mm-hmm. not for a long time at least. I mean, we have, but not for a long time. So
well, you said Jerry Jacobs signed with the Jags. Another thing that we were talking about was the wide receiver market, and would the Lions look to get someone else there. DJ Chark was someone that people brought up because he was a former Lion. Of course, he spent last year with the Carolina Panthers. Didn't really do much, but Carolina didn't really do much. So, fair. That dream is dead for anyone who wanted DJ Chark because he signed this week. Who did he sign with? Do you remember?
I believe he's... You know what? I'm not sure where he... Yeah, I'm not sure where he went. I can't remember.
I can't remember either. But he's not to the Lions. On the market anymore. And then we saw that market start to move a little bit both ways in terms of signings and cuts. So we've got Odell Beckham, who signed a $8.5 million deal with the Miami Dolphins, reportedly chose the Dolphins over the Chiefs and Bills. And then we've got somebody who just got cut from the Jaguars, Zay Jones. Assuming they drafted Brian Thomas, they just didn't feel like they needed Zay Jones anymore. So they'll be rolling with Brian Thomas and Christian Kirk.
And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Zay Jones just a little bit farther down here in our main event. But is it possible that we have a free agency trade going on here? An ex Lion going to the Jaguars, maybe an ex Jaguar going to the Lions. I know we can't afford him, but we dream. So, all right, let's keep going here, and let's actually get into that main event. So what we did, we actually fell short of time last week, and we weren't able to get to a couple different questions in our banner mailbag. And Bailey PB was the main one that we didn't get to, so we let them know on X that we would be, asking or answering their questions they asked. And then we actually had a couple others come in and say, hey, if you're looking for questions, we have some here too. So we're actually going to make this essentially a whole nother show of mailbag questions. So, and we love it. We'll do it every week if you guys want, honestly. So, so let's get right into it. Let's start with Bailey because we didn't get to them last time. The first question they asked is, what would be the draft pick you expect to have the biggest impact in 24? And I'll let you go ahead and answer that one first.
It looks like you already picked the same guy that I was going to pick. So I honestly, I'm going to go with Christian Mahogany because looking there, there's always depth needed on an offensive line. And with what we saw with injuries, especially on the interior this year, and in the past, he's going to get some kind of rotational playing time, assuming he comes along the way they want him to. And that's not a knock on any of the other picks. I just think the life of a... If we're talking long-term, who's going to have the most impact in the future? Probably him. I think the life of a corner in the NFL is so short, especially on one singular team. Usually they play 3-4 good seasons with a team, and then they're usually somewhere else, or they've regressed, or they just slip in the rotation. So I just think offensive line is a prime spot for you to have more impact in the future, and that's what Mahogany is going to be.
Yeah, and I think that question though was for 24. So essentially, like the first year, which one do you think is going to take the most
immediately?
Impact? Yeah. Yep.
I thought that was like a future one.
Yeah, I think the next question will be that, but for 24, okay. Who do you think would be that guy?
Well, this year, I'm gonna say Ennis Rakestraw.
Okay.
I think the number one corner spot is gonna be locked down by Carlton Davis unless Terrion Arnold comes roaring out and just passes him and is that guy that can shut down people and has like a Sauce Gardner type rookie season.
Okay.
If that doesn't happen, he'll be cornerback two and he'll be relied on to take away that number two option while Carlton Davis works on the number one. Rakestraw, I think, is going to be a plug and play guy who's just he is primed on making big plays. That's what he does. He blows stuff up at the line of scrimmage. He's essentially like a linebacker in a cornerback's body. He makes big hits. So, you know, the Bears love to do those screen plays, mm-hmm. and so do the Vikings, really, where they just get their fast wide receiver the ball as quick as possible and then try and make moves. And I think Rakestraw is going to be in the formations where the Lions think that that's something they may go to based on what they've seen on tape. And I think he's going to make a lot of plays that way.
And so with your talking impact in 24, what you're looking at is big play impact. And honestly, most likely, I'm not speaking for you, but what I take out of what you said there would be that Terry and Arnold will probably play cornerback too. And most likely, teams might end up not throwing to him quite as much, so maybe he won't have as many impact plays. Terry and Arnold will be kind of like what Brian Branch saw last year, where he'll be, like you're saying, plug and play, and all of a sudden he'll be making big plays that you don't expect, almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's in essence.
So for me, my answer to that question, the biggest impact in 24, actually might surprise people because I did not pick either of the cornerbacks. And the reason is because of the depth that we actually have at cornerback. I think the thought there is to get those guys in and get them used to playing, get, you know, have them work under whether it's Carlton and Amik or, you know, however that looks. I think the thought is to give them a little bit of time. Most likely they will, like you're saying, Terry and Arnold will take over that spot. I do think Rakestraw ends up taking over that cornerback three spot and working with Brian Branch in that spot too. But I think actually that Mekhi Wingo or Makai Wingo might be one of those ones that sneaks in there. I'm actually going to say both of our sixth-round picks. I think Christian Mahogany might get some playing time too. I can just see those two getting some under the radar snaps, and I just see Wingo making some big plays and surprising people just because of his sheer size and ability. And then Mahogany, I can see being a plug and play kind of guy, and I think he's gonna make a big impact if we need him. So that's my answer there.
That makes sense. And Bailey PB also asked, and I jumped the gun a little bit, so that's my bad. She asked, what is the draft pick you expect to have the biggest impact in the future beyond this year? And I already gave my answer as Mahogany, obviously, so I'll let you take the floor on that one.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because we're actually going to flip-flop. Because I think you said that, you know, those six-round picks might be the ones for this, for future. I think Terry and Arnold, I know you said it's like, you know, maybe 4 good years or, you know, like prime years. But I want to look at somebody like Darius Slay, who, if you get the right guy and he's got the right skill set, he finds a way. So there's a possibility, maybe, you know, 5 years down the road, Terry and Arnold slows down. He doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have all this stuff, but he finds a way. And I see Terry and Arnold with the drive and, you know, just his personality even. I see him being somebody that's hungry, somebody that's not going to allow himself to slow down in year 4 or 5. I think he's just going to keep making plays and finding ways to do things. So,
And I want to clarify, I don't mean 4 years of prime football and then he's done being good. What I'm saying is likely 4 years for a cornerback is what you're looking at to stay on the same team before he jumps
to
somewhere
else. Okay, I got
you.
Okay.
Just because he's outlived his life there, but that's not always the case. I mean, I'm just thinking more of what we saw with Jalen Ramsey. Exceptional years with the Jaguars, and then in his prime gets shipped to the Rams, has pretty good years with the Rams, and he gets shipped off to the Dolphins, and he's played decent football. He wasn't healthy last year, really. So I'm just thinking along the lines of that.
You want to know something that won't happen?
What?
We won't lose our cornerback one because we have an incompetent idiot of a coach coaching him and driving him out the door like last time. So,
Speaking of, let's just address that right now. We found out that Will Harris signed with the Saints, maybe? I don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yes, but it doesn't matter.
He's out the door, and with that I believe is the last draft pick of the Matt Patricia era that is out the door in Detroit. We have officially wiped the slate clean of Matt Patricia, and it's all Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes now.
And I know that you were on Twitter, you know, essentially saying that's why we were celebrating that. I want to clarify something because we're all fans here, and we're all allowed to have our own opinions here. And if you have to, you know, unfollow us because of our opinions, that's silly, but whatever. I didn't like Will Harris. I'm glad he's gone, to be honest with you guys. I wasn't a fan of him. I mean, it's the same as anything else. Like, you might have a player that you're not a fan of. I'm not a fan of Will Harris. I'm glad he's not on this team. I'm just going to say it. So
yeah, it's not like
take it for what it's for.
This isn't,
whatever.
This isn't like a Philly with C.J. Gardner-Johnson type deal. It's more of, because he got signed by another team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like his he got like an injury and he's done and we're all cheering. He just got, he's moving on and it needed to be done. He just was not,
I didn't like him, honestly,
he just wasn't a good player for us. Other than special teams, I'll give him his due on special teams. But anytime we put him out there on defense, he was a liability.
And a lot of people want to say, you know, I've read a lot of things, and, you know, again, I'm calling people out on Twitter or whatever, but a lot of people want to say things like, you know, he was a workhorse for Dan Campbell. He always showed up when Dan Campbell needed him. Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe he showed up, but I didn't see it. I'll be honest. I mean, if you guys want to, I mean, I've seen people like dig on Jerry Jacobs. I feel like Jerry Jacobs was better than Will Harris tenfold. So,
well,
I'm just saying.
Let's be honest. Work ethic is only half the battle. You can show up and be a reliable guy.
You can do everything a coach asks you to.
And just because you're a reliable guy and like a coach's player,
I'll be honest,
doesn't mean you're good.
I'm going to say I'll go do everything Dan Campbell wants me to. Easy.
Okay,
I'm going to go do it right now.
Let's calm down.
Throw me up there.
Let's calm down. I don't think you're getting any offers anytime
soon. I think that might have been a pause moment, actually. But yeah, I digress. Let's move on to the next question.
So sticking with Bailey here, next one is our overall favorite draft pick from this year.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm trying to think if I had anyone.
It's not as obvious. It's not.
I think it's just Terry and Arnold. I'm trying to think if there's any way I could go. I just think the Terry and Arnold thing is more of a, like a, and I know it just happened recent, but it's more of like that nostalgic feeling just because you get those first round picks and it's so much spotlight on them and it's glitz and glam and they get the interview on stage and they get the jersey and it just makes you feel a little bit different than the rest of them. And especially when it's a player that you weren't expected to get and they ended up falling into your lap. That was my favorite pick, just based on the sole value of what we got and what we had to give up to get there.
I just want to point out, and this is kind of showing you guys what we've got going on here and how we're practicing this video stuff, but obviously I keep showing up on Brendan's screen, and I know it's driving you guys nuts because it's driving me crazy, but Brendan, go ahead, man. Stay on your soapbox. What else you got to say about that one? I mean, who's your favorite? What's your favorite?
I already said this. Terry and Arnold. That's all I had to say.
Okay, I thought you were kind of saying not. So, I'm actually going to go with Terry and Arnold as well. And it is for that feeling. Dan Campbell and the front office, I guess. I mean, all of them. I can say, you know, Brad Holmes or whatever else. They're all looking for their guy, and this is an all-grit, one-pride mentality kind of guy. You can see it on his face. You can see it in his interviews. You can see it in his ex-posts. This dude belongs in Detroit. Again, that's following along with what you're saying, that one, or that, you know, whether it's one-pride mentality or that feeling of, like, you know, he came up on stage and he yelled, I'm home, like, all that stuff goes into it for sure, but Brad Holmes, I trust Brad Holmes 100%. Dude got his guy in the first round. That's who he was looking for. We traded up a little bit to get him, but he fell to us. It just seems like it's, you know, the football gods are saying, yo, Lions, here we go. Let's do this. So hopefully that's the case. We'll see.
Yeah, but, sounds good to me. Next one we have up here is our biggest draft pick sleeper. Again, this is Bailey. She's going to have a few more here, so we're just running down the list of hers. But this one is the biggest draft pick sleeper, so the biggest guy that we think is not being mentioned as much that's going to have a bigger impact than people think.
Yeah, and the question was asked for the Lions and then maybe for another team. So let's start with the Lions if you got one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to shock a few people here, and maybe that's part of a sleeper type thing. But
you're going
for
the special teamer.
I'm
going
to say Sione Vaki.
Yep, I knew it.
I think he's going to have a huge impact. Like people have said, I think he's going to be like a Jamal Agnew kind of guy where You can play him whatever you want to do with him.
Yep.
You can put him at safety if you want to. I know that's not really where they want to go with him, but if they get in a pinch and they want to put him in there, they might have special packages for him to be in there. But like I was saying, we know how much Dan Campbell loves to get risky on special teams and how many times he likes to, you know, just throw the ball on in a punting situation.
Do something different, yeah, throw him off.
And last year, it was that one, there was that one big fourth down. Was that again? Was that in that San Francisco game? Was that
which one are you talking about?
The one Maben. When was he? When did he
the throw?
Yeah. What game was
it?
That?
Was I don't think it was a San Francisco game.
I don't remember. But anyway,
I'm going through and rewatching them all, so I'll let you know soon.
Maben threw it, and Khalil Dorsey was the one that caught it. And Khalil Dorsey was kind of a gadget player as well, just because of his speed. But Vaki is going to. I think he's going to get involved in special teams, whether it be just regular special teams running down and hitting guys, special teams making plays, catching balls on fakes, you know, being a gunner in punting situations. But then I also think they're going to draw some gadget plays for him on offense where he's going to get the ball, and I think we're going to be a little bit shocked with what he can do as a ball carrier. So, yeah, I think Vaki is my guy, and the new rules with the kickoff only benefit him as well. They said that was one of the big reasons they really wanted to get him was the new rules in the kickoff return where they're in shorter proximity to the defenders, so there's more opportunity to make people miss.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah, I agree that Vaki was a sleeper pick. I had to go with my biggest sleeper pick, and I think I based this, so I named two names in my notes, and I did have Giovanni Manu as one, but he's one of those guys that's literally so big, literally, that he's kind of in the spotlight right now just because everybody wants a piece of him, I guess. Everybody wants to ask questions about him because he wasn't playing college ball here. Don't look at me like that. Don't make those looks. What I'm saying is
everybody wants a piece of him.
What I'm saying is everybody's like interested in Giovanni Manu because he's a 7 foot or a 6 foot eight guy coming in. You know, he's a big dude. He hasn't played. Nobody has a lot of tape on him. He's just somebody that's really interesting. I would say Wingo is going to be my sleeper pick here because I think people are sleeping on the fact that he can play edge. We need an edge rusher. He might end up getting in that rotation pretty well there. Might be surprised at how many plays he has an opportunity. He just seems like he's that James Houston late round feel. I feel like he's kind of like one of those late round picks, later round picks. I shouldn't say late round, but one of those later round picks that has that James Houston feel to me. I just think they're going to play him a lot at edge, and he's got a good opportunity, I think. So
yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I guess that kind of settles it there. She said maybe another team. I'm not going to spend too much time explaining, but I think the Rams had a really good draft, and it pains me to say that, but I really think they had a really good draft.
Yeah.
And their second round pick is the one I'm going to choose here. It's Braden Fisk out of Florida State, the defensive tackle. That guy is probably a bit undersized for defensive tackle, but he is dangerous.
He could have been a first rounder easy.
He could be, and I'm not going to make a comparison here, but he could be their Aaron Donald replacement. It's similar storyline. He's undersized, which is why, you know, Aaron Donald still went first round because he's Aaron Donald. But I think Fisk is being overlooked. He's very lean and he bends crazy. He's fluid with his motions. He's going to have a lot of quarterback pressures, if nothing else, this year. And he was probably the number one defensive tackle I wanted on my board. I think number two would have been... I talked about this. If we go back and look, Wingo was on my list. We talked about guys that impressed us at the combine, and he was high on my list right after Fisk because of his explosive, you know, his explosive numbers that he put up in the 40-yard dash especially, but also in that three-cone drill and the some of the other ones.
I think
but
you said long jump or something was a big one or no, something.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was thinking No, it's the one where they lay down in the bags and then they like.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know,
yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, I'll move on. I think Braden Fisk is my guy. You can pick one if you want now.
Yeah, so I had some notables. I just threw out there. TJ Tampa to Baltimore in the fourth round was kind of a surprise. That could be a sleeper.
Would it be a show of basement banner if Zach wasn't mentioning TJ Tampa's name?
let's get off camera for a minute. Another notable would be, actually two notables would be the two wide receivers that I wanted to get would be Johnny Wilson in the sixth and Brendan Rice in the seventh. Those could be big, especially Johnny Wilson, especially Brendan Rice to the Chargers because they needed wide receivers. If he can find a way to get off the line a little more, a little faster, he's gonna be a good pick in the seventh. But my actual real biggest value sleeper, I think Muhammad Kamara, out of Colorado State to the Dolphins in the fifth round is a sleeper to me. I think you're going to see that guy's going to have some stats. So I think I was calling for him in the third or fourth round for the Lions. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Moving on. Next one here. Biggest remaining needs prior to training camp. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. We can just kind of run down the positions we think we need the most of. And I think we're probably going to align here mostly. Wide receiver is a big one.
Yep.
Not necessarily. I don't mean big as in we majorly need that. I just think we could stand to add somebody.
Yeah.
We did get an undrafted wide receiver, and I know we gave him. We must have liked him because we gave him one of the biggest guaranteed.
Was it like
$225,000
or something crazy?
Yeah,
it was
like $225,000 guaranteed. And you don't see that with undrafted free agents typically, but
he's the same size the same height as me. I just need to lose some weight and get faster. I'm gonna make some money. I'm gonna keep trying. Oh my
gosh. You might want to increase your hand size a little bit.
Brad
too.
Holmes, take a flyer, man. Let's go.
No, wide receiver is one, and then I think we'll just run down these. If you want to add something, you can.
I'm with wide receiver. Yep, everywhere. I'm with wide receiver.
Edge is the next one.
I'm with
we
edge.
Need another edge rusher. Just yep. In a rotational value again. These are not going to be starter caliber guys, but just guys that you can stick in there for a body during
yep.
camp.
Wide receiver three, edge
has a
three
chance
or four.
To make the team as yep. a rotational guy, but might not. And then the last one I'm going to say right now I'll add two actually. So kicker.
That's where I'm at. That's my last one.
Just somebody to battle with Badgley, and that I'm hoping.
And to get Badgley cut.
I'm hoping. I know.
Hold on. I'm not sure if you laughed, so let me just say, and to get Badgley cut.
You're an idiot. So the next one, or the guy that I hope they sign is obviously the homer Jake Bates from the Michigan Panthers of the UFL. I know he didn't have a great week this last week. I think he went 1-for-2, something like that. He missed something. 1-for-3, something. He did not have a great week. But he's still worth taking a flyer on. And then my last position is going to be safety. I think we could stand just to add a veteran guy. It doesn't have to be a high, you know, a high-figure guy that we're going to pay a bunch of money. But just mm-hmm. bring somebody in as a veteran guy to help teach these younger guys, because you still got, I mean, our starters are Curb and Iffy. Those are two young guys. And I know Curb has been good, and Iffy had a really good season last year, but they're still young.
Hold on. Iffy had a really good, like, last five games.
Let's be honest, though. How much did Iffy play before then?
Right. No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's a very small sample size. So
I know, but
I'm agreeing with you. But
I'm just saying.
Okay, argue with my agreement.
You weren't agreeing with me.
I am
you were
agreeing.
You were telling me.
I'm telling
you're
you.
Throwing,
it's a little scary to have him as a starter.
You're throwing what ifs in there is what you're doing.
What ifies.
Okay, I'm done with you. We're moving on to the next one. The next guy that asked us a question would be Deckers Pecker on X. Your child.
Just said.
Don't giggle at that.
Teehee.
Deckers Pecker said, are we getting a different quarterback three, or are we riding with Sudfeld? Pretty simple here. I don't. They seem to like Sudfeld.
Yep.
I thought he was gone after this season just because they didn't need him, and Hendon Hooker was probably going to take that QB2, and they'll just sign some random guy. But apparently they think Sudfeld is worth keeping around maybe just because of familiarity.
Yep.
But I don't think they're going any direction with that.
Nope.
Other than Sudfeld.
Nope. Notes I have is he's familiar with the offense, and you know we hope to never get to quarterback two, let alone quarterback three. So I mean, it just makes sense.
Only way I would see that not happening is, you know, I think at the end of last season they ended up getting David Blau back, didn't they? On their practice squad,
yep.
At least.
Yep.
And he spent time with the Vikings, and they really liked David Blau when he was here. He was a fan favorite, and he was one of those guys that was here at the start of the regime. Just kind of fizzled out because we didn't need him anymore. But that's the only guy I could see pushing for it. They're going to keep quarterback three as they're not pushing for talent so much as a veteran guy that's stable and can be there and knows the players in the building and the coaches and is just that steady guy. That's all they're looking
for.
Well,
yeah, and as a quarterback three, who's really out there that's available that's cheap enough to make it worth it as a quarterback three? There's really not.
No, I mean, Trubisky got swiped up, so.
It wouldn't be a Basement Banner show without you mentioning Trubisky, so.
He's the MVP, though. You cannot not mention him.
Gosh.
It's either Trubisky or Mike Glennon for me, so.
Oh, my gosh. He's not even, is he even in the league anymore?
I don't know. That dude's just got the longest neck I've ever seen. I'd love to see him on our team.
Oh, man. And the biggest forehead, too, I think. But anyway.
No, that's Peyton Manning.
He's got that one. So, honestly, with that one, that's what I would say with that. Sudfeld's not going anywhere. I can see them, like you're saying, I think you were alluding to, picking up David Blau back to the practice squad, if possible. If that's even, I don't even know if he's eligible anymore or whatever. But I saw him in street clothes on the sideline a lot, so it's possible that he's still part of the team somewhere. So.
Yep. And then Deckers Pecker also asked, any free agents that were looking at the Lions possibly picking up? He said there's been lots of talks about them adding a wide receiver in particular.
Yeah, and I'm assuming this question is comes with the asterisk of prior to June 1st, because it's possible that we see some cuts and some people available June 1st that we don't know about. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just going to say Lions, you know, Lions fans, don't get your hopes up for some big name guy. I know Zay Jones just got cut, and that would be someone that would be a good signing. He's severely underrated. Tyler Boyd would be another one who's severely underrated, but a really good guy. But those guys, while underrated, are still going to demand a price tag that I just don't think Holmes is going to be willing to pay.
So what about the other two? I know you're kind of going down my list here.
I was just referencing.
What about the other two? I got two more on here. Michael Gallup's still available, and actually Valdez Scantling is available. Are those either ones?
Valdez Scantling is more realistic, I would say, just
price
because,
tag wise.
Yeah, I think yep. Prior to the season, when you know, or prior to his deal with the Chiefs, I know he got better money with them, but that's because he played well in Green Bay and he had Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He had Patrick Mahomes throwing him the ball in Kansas City, and he just was not
what they expected.
He showed some good stuff, but he dropped balls, and he was just bad last year.
Yep.
So that'll lower his price tag. I can still see him. I could see him being a realistic target if they wanted to do that. But Michael Gallup, maybe the injury history might drive his price tag down a little bit. I still don't see him.
Going cheap enough
here, yeah.
Quintez Cephas is gone. I don't think we've touched on that yet.
No, he's with. Did he go? Why do I think everyone went to the Saints?
I don't know. I don't remember where he went either. I just know I saw he was off the board, so he's gone.
Michael Thomas is also still out there.
Oh boy,
just throwing that out there. I'm not saying we signed him, but he's still out there.
Yeah, I would take MVS before I took Michael Thomas. I'm gonna say it right here now, just because of the injuries.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. The injuries is the only reason why. If he was healthy, I'm taking Michael Thomas every time.
Yeah, yeah, if he could stay healthy, but he has proven that he can't. So moving on. So another free agent area that I was kind of making note here is edge, where we've kind of said the three that we're really looking for, wide receiver, edge, and kicker. So there's not a lot out there for edge. There's a couple of places you could go for depth, but like Carl Lawson, Tyus Bowser, Shaq Lawson, Emmanuel
Ogba.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are like the top four available right now.
I'll throw one more out there is Yannick Ngakoue.
Okay.
I think he played for the Bears last year.
I would put him a step above Tyus Bowser, actually.
Yeah.
So
he's one of those guys, though. Yannick Ngakoue is one of those guys that's going to still cost you a little bit just because while he hasn't produced a ton, he's young and he's just explosive. So you know he's going to give you pressures at the very least, and he showed that with the Bears. He didn't get a ton of sacks necessarily, but he was pressuring.
So realistically, do you foresee us doing any of these? I don't foresee this happening here. I think we're done with Edge maybe June 1st. We'll see.
I think Ogba could be a guy they bring in, but I don't see them. I think they've got what they want there. You look at the number of guys they have on that line right now. I mean, Houston, Pascal, now they got Wingo, they still got the Kamish, they've got McNeil, they got DJ Reader, they got Aiden Hutchinson. They got, I know I'm missing something, it's my bad, but they've got a ton of guys on that defensive line.
They've really, I mean, all of the defense are a big part of the defense. They've really bolstered this roster for that defense. So so let's move on to the next one. I don't think we're going to do much there. Kicker.
I already talked about this. It's Jake Bates.
So I just want to take a little bit of time on Jake Bates. I want to say, you know, I do hope that he is a real option. And there's been a couple things as far as, you know, all these teams have reached out to Jake Bates. All these teams have done that. They haven't, because there's NFL bylaws that I read up on this week. You can't reach out to UFL players until after their season. So once they're done, you can. Are they finding ways around that? Yeah, probably, because like they can reach out to the actual teams, but they're not allowed to reach out to the players. So I don't think there's a lot of teams that have reached out and talked to Bates like one-on-one, but I do think it's possible that they're taking a flyer on him. Something about Jake Bates that I didn't know, because I didn't know his background very well. He's only kicked one field goal prior to playing for the Panthers.
Oh, I knew that.
So, and it was in a high school game, and he missed it. He actually played soccer in college before he switched to football, where he only handled kickoffs, and he had 60 kickoffs with 32 touchbacks, and that's it. But with all that being said, and that in mind, I still think he's worth a camp shot. So, we'll see.
Saying we're signing him to be the starter. You're signing him to compete.
Yeah, I mean,
if he wins it.
If we're going to give a chance to Kickalicious, we can give a chance to Jake Bates.
Okay.
That's what I'll say. All right, so let's move on. So the next question by Mr. Pecker.
The last question of our mailbag.
Yeah, by Mr. Pecker here. He asked, and this is a fun one, who is winning a tug of war between Giovanni Manu and a Holstein cow?
I don't know what a Holstein cow is.
A big... big cow.
Okay.
Yeah.
probably a Holstein cow. I'm gonna
no
be
way.
Honest with you.
So here's what would happen. Manu would play around a little bit and then let the cow kind of work up a sweat. So the meat cooks a little bit. He'd then pull him in and, you know, sweep the rope in and he'd eat the cow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were in an episode of Looney Tunes.
He would then take the L emote after that. I'm just saying. So
is he gonna pop open a can of spinach too, and
yep,
you know, kiss his girlfriend? That's named after
his forearms
slice.
Are gonna go like this. Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Happening.
Okay.
Yep,
I'm just saying right now.
I mean, you gotta have fun with the question. It's a fun question.
I'm not saying it's not a fun question. I'm saying you're an idiot. I'll get
he's
you some
right.
logic here. The cow's probably gonna win because he's got four legs on the ground. He's gonna bear down with those hind legs and rip and. Whole Manu. I'm not saying he's going to like fall on the ground or anything. I'm just saying he's probably not going to win a tug of war.
This guy's too much of a realist. I'm sick of it. I'm over this.
Sorry. I got to throw some logic in here, okay?
All right. Let's move on. We don't have a whole lot of other stuff going on with the Lions this week. It's been quiet after the draft. So we'll move on to that was random. Thanks, you two, for the questions. And we'll do another one of those in a while. But let's move on for this episode. Let's move on to That Was Random. And our first That Was Random is Xavier Smith and the Colorado Sanders. It's not the Colorado Buffs anymore. It's the Colorado Sanders.
Okay.
Xavier Smith was in the news saying that Coach Prime mostly doesn't show passion. He was told
compassion, not
passion. Compassion. Sorry, he shows a lot of passion, I should say. But he was told to basically Xavier Smith was told to basically hit the transfer portal on Sanders' arrival. He decided not to and stayed with the team. And essentially, what it sounds like is Prime didn't love that. So. Speaking on that year's spring practice, Smith said that he felt more like an extra in the background of a reality TV show. And he said, talking of Sanders, he said, you never tried to get to know me. He was destroying guys' confidence. So, I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean,
that part?
Is this really any news to anybody? They literally showed the clip of Deion Sanders when his first got into the Colorado meeting room, and he literally told them to hit the portal.
Yeah. So,
no, it's not that surprising to me.
The thing is, though, is it Xavier Smith being soft? Is it Prime? I don't know. But he then transferred to Austin Peay, where he was then an FCS freshman All-American. Colorado finished 127th nationally in passing defense. And 98th in coverage grade, so it definitely. But the thing to make note here, the thing that really got me, was Shedeur Sanders stepping up for Daddy and tweeting, "I don't even remember him, to be honest. Bro had to be very mid at best," and that's him talking about Xavier Smith. This is a guy that's trying to become first overall in the draft, and this is the kind of stuff he's saying. And literally, the guy's like coming out and saying like, "This dude destroyed confidence. This dude doesn't show compassion." And Shedeur comes to Daddy's, Daddy's side and says something like that.
Whatever. I could care less about whatever that is going on in Colorado. We knew that
it's a trash heap.
Well, this is what it is. It's Deion likes his guys. And apparently this Smith guy wasn't one of his guys. He didn't want him there. To me, it's Deion being an idiot and being a bit of a douche. But it's also Smith being stupid. Why would you choose to stay when the coach literally told you he doesn't want you there? Don't go out and complain then. If the coach said he didn't want you there, you're going to be shocked that he was mean to you.
I mean, I see that, but I also see the fact that, like, okay, so obviously, we all joking aside, we've joked about this a couple times. So, you know, God willing, maybe I had the ability to get on and go to Michigan. I love Michigan. I know. Cut it out.
What are we doing? Why are we talking?
Listen.
What are you going to cut? And next segment is Zach talking about,
he's not even going to let me talk. He's going to talk this whole episode now. Let me talk.
If it happened, that I would have gotten a scholarship to Juilliard, and then I ended up marrying Ana de Armas, and why are you just throwing out these hypotheticals?
You're being a dick. So anyway,
D1 athlete.
what I'm saying is people fall in love with the school. So it might be something that he was a fan of Colorado for his whole life. It was his dream to be playing at Colorado. It's possible that that's something that he wanted to hold on to, regardless of who the regime was coming in, regardless of what they said. And it could also be the fact that he had a little bit of ego and he bet on himself and he was hoping that he'd make the team regardless. So I'm just saying.
That's great. I don't like either of them. I don't know the Smith guy. I don't like Deion just as a coach. I think Colorado's a fun story, but that's all they are.
I don't know. I
don't know.
I don't think they're that fun. But anyway.
I thought it was a fun story last year before the season started. Then they just were
trash.
I do like Travis Hunter on their team, though. I do think he's going to be something special.
Yeah, he's like an upgraded version of Sione Vaki.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. Travis Kelce signed 2-year extension through 2027 for $34.25 million with the Chiefs. Just something
expected.
Just something to put in there.
Keep your eye on that because I know it's a long way down the road, but Sam LaPorta probably going to get
big
way
money.
More than that money.
Big money.
3 years, but 2-3 years down the road.
I would say the one thing that surprised me, maybe not surprised me, but solidified a question that a lot of people had was, a lot of people thought Travis Kelce was pretty close to maybe hanging up his cleats, especially after his brother hung him up. So,
well, seeing, 2 years. I mean, how many do we know what he had on his contract remaining?
He was extended through 27, and it was a 2-year extension. So I would say he was signed through
2025. Yep. Then. Okay. Yep. Well, okay. That's fine. He's still in his prime. I mean,
yeah. People can still retire too, regardless of what they sign.
We don't know how his relationship's going to go with Taylor Swift right now, and if he ends up getting to a point where he's ready to settle down, I think he's going to go the opposite route that his brother did, and he's going to quit football before he decides to start a family.
Yeah,
just because his brother, I know in the documentary especially, it was, they talked about like the difficulty it was
of not being home,
trying to be a father, but yeah, also having to be away from the kids all the time for football. So,
yeah. And so the last thing we have here, first of all, congrats, Travis Kelce. You got paid. You deserve it. I'll give you that. But the last thing I have here is, the Bears fans on Twitter have been emboldened, and it's because of Caleb Williams and what they believe Caleb Williams will be. So I put together a nice little rant here about how Caleb Williams reeks of bust material. And you can stop me anytime you want. I will continue to read until you tell me to stop or interrupt me. Last time I saw someone as insufferable and annoying and someone who thinks that they are going to be the godsend to football was Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M.
I'm going to stop you
right
there.
Turned into a trash bag in the NFL.
Do not talk bad on the name of Johnny Football.
This is why I told him he could interrupt me, because I knew it was coming.
Do not talk bad on the name of Johnny Football.
Johnny
Football was
the stage,
an awful person who had a lot of issues mental health-wise.
Was a trash bag on the NFL
field. And addiction-wise. But, gosh, that guy was fun to watch.
Okay, that's fine, and that's what a lot of people think Caleb Williams is. He's good TV, whatever.
Here's the thing, though.
Great.
No.
Boss.
No, you're not going to get rid of me that easy. Because here's the difference between Johnny Manziel and Caleb Williams. Johnny Manziel...
doesn't paint his fingernails.
Johnny Manziel was a douche, and he owned it. He knew what he was, and he just... it was something lovable about the level of douchebag that he was.
All I'm saying
is... and it came the same way with, like, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was a huge douche in college. He planted his flag on the middle of the logo, and he grabbed his junk at the sideline. Yeah, it's just something about that. That stuff gets me pumped up. I love when I see... I don't love when I see dudes grabbing their junk.
Let's go.
It's
on video.
I love when I see people with that kind of confidence in sports. It's just something about it. Caleb Williams is just full of himself, and he doesn't, I don't know. There's just something about him that just is off to me. And the way he says "da Bears" is the most annoying thing I have ever seen.
Insufferable.
In my life.
Like, okay, I said. Go on. All right, so let's keep going. USC ran an air raid offense. His stats were inflated, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But to skip over something real quick, he also came unglued when he hit a losing streak finally. According to Sports Illustrated, November 28, 2023, Williams was quoted to say, "I've never been in this situation where I'm 7-5 and there are no playoff hopes at the end of the season. I'm dealing with it emotionally, dealing with it spiritually, and physically." This is when he was crying to his mom in the stands. An NFL caliber quarterback, number one overall, ready to go into the NFL and play with the big boys, doesn't go cry on his mom's shoulders as a leader of a team that's struggling. Yeah. You go in that locker room and you fake it till you make it. That's how you do it.
I just throw a point on there. The problem with Caleb Williams is he hasn't faced adversity. He's been given everything to him on a silver platter, and the only thing you can even argue that he's faced adversity wise was when he was at Oklahoma, and even then this was like a whole interview he did where he with RG3, I think it was.
Yep.
And he was asking him about that, and he's like was mad that he didn't get to start day one at Oklahoma, but like Spencer Rattler was in front of him, a projected number one pick at the time,
and a Heisman projection.
Yeah, yeah. And he was mad that he wasn't starting. Like, the thing with him is he doesn't have humility, and he does not know how to handle challenges.
He's not a leader.
When
that's
things
what I'm trying to
say. Things
aren't
going his way, he's not going to be a guy that's going to lift you out of
it. He'll be the one throwing a helmet on the sideline. He won't be picking his teammates up. It'll be everybody's fault but his. This is all just me saying what I can see happening. Okay, let's keep going. The last 2 years, USC, where Caleb Williams was the quarterback and number one overall, awesome, you know, savior to the Bears, 2-7 against ranked opponents. He's way too unpolished for the NFL. I think you and I talked about this when he got drafted. He loves to play too much backyard football. He runs around, he holds the ball, he dances in the pocket so he can scramble out. You know, some games it almost looked like he was waiting for guys to break off their routes because that's what he wanted, because he wants to just like do this like cute little orchestra thing where he, you know, made this awesome play and we put it on tape and blah, blah, blah. Dude, like, stay in the pocket, throw the ball, find the open receiver, throw the ball.
Well, the backyard football thing is will work for you in some instances in the NFL, but you've got to realize the level of talent you're playing when you're in college. Not all those guys are going to make an NFL roster, so just because you're juking them out of their shoes playing that kind of football doesn't mean the same thing is going to happen in the NFL. You've got, you know, what is it? You've got 11 guys on the other side who are, they're able to start on one of the 32 professional football teams. That's not a lot of people coming from the amount of college teams there are. 100
and some college teams, yeah.
So, like, don't expect that you're just going to dance around and it's going to work for you every time, because that's the same thing that happened with, you know, I talk about the same again. Johnny Manziel was the same kind of style. Didn't really work for him. But then again, he didn't watch tape, so that was kind of a problem.
He admitted to that, finally.
They said that on the documentary. I died when they said they checked his tablet and it said 0 hours of film watched. But him... And Baker Mayfield's the same way. He kind of plays a little bit of that. But they cater to him. The offenses cater to him. Baker Mayfield is at his best when he's running a bootleg. So they do a lot of that stuff where they snap the ball, get it to him, and then he immediately starts rolling out. And they get the coverage to, you know, adhere to that. But I think I'm going to put on my Diana Taurasi voice here. I'm just going to say you're in for a rude awakening. You're not playing 18-year-olds anymore.
Well, you threw Johnny Manziel out there, and you want to know the other person that came to mind when I was thinking about playing backyard football and how it didn't work out for them?
Pablo Sanchez?
No, it was actually... Did I say... Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Never
mind. I'm in backyard baseball legend, Pablo Sanchez.
Vetus Hankins.
You know, they don't know that. You can't throw that on air.
It doesn't matter. You do, it makes you laugh,
is.
So it's worth it. Vetus Hankins is an MVP player on what is it called? Retro Bowl for the...
Yeah, Retro Bowl. The app on my iPhone that I play.
He was bragging about Vetus Hankins' stats, so wide receiver one. Anyway, the person who reminds me of Caleb Williams is actually the person that came before him, Justin Fields. Justin Fields liked to do the same thing a little bit. Only Justin Fields had terrible accuracy, so he kind of had that too. So
Justin Fields also had unreal speed, so the fact that...
There is that. He could play more backyard ball, but he still liked to play the backyard ball.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to point out one more thing, that a knock on Caleb here. USC's bowl game where Caleb decided he wasn't going to play because he was ready to be drafted first overall to your Chicago Bears, who are going to be 3-14 this year. They beat number 15 Louisville using quarterback Miller Moss in his first career start, in which Moss tied Caleb's career high with 6 touchdown passes and also threw for 372 yards. Louisville's passer ranking on the season, 37. Louisville's touchdowns allowed, it was an average of 2.7 per game. So they were not a slouch. And that shows you what this offense did, whether it was Caleb Williams at the helm or Mr. Miller Moss at the helm. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Bears are emboldened. They're still going
to
lose.
I've interjected all that I need to. All I'm going to say is I'm praying on his downfall. That's all I've got to say.
It'll happen. So that's all I have for that.
If he shocks me, he shocks me, but I don't care. I'm praying on his downfall.
It's happening. Yeah, so that's all we have for today. That's actually our, I think it's a pretty short episode here, but you know, that's how it is. You know, in the off season, we're gonna keep bringing them to you. I just want to kind of let you guys know we're still running the giveaways. We've actually upped the antes a little bit. 500 followers on Twitter by the end of June, so we're getting close. I think we have like 270 something. We're going to give away $100 to the NFL shop, and these are three separate ones, so we're not giving this all to one person. We're going to give a signed Herman Moore Midas Touch card, numbered out of 24. We're also going to now give a Righteous Felon Craft Jerky care package to somebody. Thanks to them for that. And then we're also going to up the ante and 500 subscribers on YouTube, regardless of when we get there. We're going to give away a Jameson Williams PSA graded 9 rookie card. And it's actually numbered out of 24 as well. So, or 25, sorry. Numbered out of 25. So there's some opportunities there. We're going to keep doing that kind of stuff. I know those are kind of small giveaways, but they'll get higher and higher as we're able to grow our people here, and hopefully our audience gets bigger and bigger. So,
yep.
All right.
All right. Well, that's it for this week, guys. I guess we'll end it with a hearty Go Lions.
Go Lions, baby.